Alright, Trebosai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf Chof 20. We have actually a beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. We are picking up on Chof and Aleph 20a, five lines down from the top, right after the period. Turn it up on us. We'll remember again in this parak, beautiful new parak, third parak of Bechoros that we started yesterday. So the Mishnah introduced us to the interesting case of if one purchases an animal from an Akum, and again, there's a legitimate issue. Has the animal given birth or not? Obviously, we're in this for Bechor purposes. So, essentially, what the Mishnah said, what Rabbi Shmuel said is, we gauge this biologically. That essentially, again, if I bought the animal young enough that it would not have birth, I assume then that the animal that it does give birth to while I own it is, in fact, the Bechor. Whereas if I bought an older animal that had been capable of giving birth already, then ultimately, again, Rabbi Shmuel says that I assume that it is a suffek. So we discussed yesterday why a suffek. So we saw again Choshish Lemiuta. We saw a variety of different opinions. With that, let's pick up. Tan Rabbanan. Eiz Bashnasa. So we'll say a brace over here that pretty much quotes the same idea as the Mishnah. So Eiz Bashnasa. I go ahead and I buy a goat. Within a year, vadai lekoin. So we'll say ultimately again, when that animal gives birth, that ultimately again, that animal is considered to be a vadai bechor. Remember again, we assume that a goat does not give birth within the first year, or at least only gives birth within the first year. And therefore again, if I bought it within a year, when it then subsequently gives birth, I assume that that is the first of its offspring, and therefore again, it's a bechor that's given to the kohen. Mikaro lahalon, if I buy a goat that is older than that, safek, ultimately, again, then it's a suffek. I'm not sure, did the animal give birth? Did the animal not give birth? And remember again, although we reviewed it multiple times, what do you do with a suffek bechor? You allow it to graze until it develops a mum. You then redeem it ultimately again with its mum, and you're permitted to go ahead and consume it. Next, para bas shalosh. If you buy a cow within 3 years, right, within 3 years old, vada the coin. And we assume when that animal gives birth, we assume that, in fact, is the first offspring of that par. And therefore, again, vadai the coin. We assume it's a vadai bechor, and therefore it belongs to the coin. Mikanu lahalon. But again, if I go ahead and I purchase it above 3 years old, then suffek. Ultimately, again, I'm not sure, is that a firstborn animal, not a firstborn animal, and therefore treated like suffek bechor. Next, chamora kipara. A chamora, a donkey, is treated just like a cow, 3 years old. Good. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda apparently disagrees with the chamor, and he says, Bas arba ashanim. He disagrees and he says, no, a chamor is not like a cow. A chamor is like a chamor. Right? Chamor apparently, again, is 4 years old. Cow is 3 years old. Good. So says the Gemara, Ad kan divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So up until here, Abba say, these are the words of Rabbi Yishmael. Good. Abba say, now the truth is, this echoes the Mishnah. This echoes the Mishnah with, I think, maybe... In this price over here records the dissenting opinion of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, who distinguishes between a chamora and a para, whereas in our Mishnah, the Mishnah makes no distinction between those two animals. Fine. Kisha ne'emru dvar mefnei Rabbi Yoshua. When these words were said before Rabbi Yoshua, I will say this is very interesting. Amru lahem, Rabbi Yoshua said to them, Tsu'u amru lo Rabbi Yishmael. Ta'isa. Wow. Go back and tell Rabbi Shmuel, you made a mistake. You made a mistake. Why? So listen to this. Ilu bivlad bilvat habehema nifteres hayakid varecha. If the only way that an animal would exempt subsequent births from Bechor would be if it delivered a viable offspring, then you would be correct. Ela simen havlad behema daka tinuf ubegasa shalyo ubeisha shapir vishalis. We'll say now watch this. What Rabbi Yoshua is coming along and saying is as follows, is like this, which is that halacha lemaisam, Rabbi Shmuel, you are presupposing that in order for an animal to be called a bechor, it has to be a viable birth, right? What Rabbi Yoshua is saying over here is that halacha lemaisam, even if the animal does not give birth to a viable offspring, but has some type of miscarriage, so that miscarriage, of course, that miscarriage won't quote-unquote be the Bechor, because it's a non-viable offspring, but what does it do? it exempts the one that comes after it from being the Bechar. So that's what Rabbi Yoshua, so we'll say, just so you understand, just so you line it up, Rabbi Yoshua in this Braisa, it appears, is saying the same type of thing that Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah said. So let's read this once more. So it's Kishnamrut Rabbi Yoshua, when they came and they relayed Rabbi Shmuel's words in front of Rabbi Yoshua, Amrulahan, Rabbi Yoshua said to them, Tzu, Amrulo Rabbi Shmuel to Isa, go back and tell Rabbi Shmuel, you made a mistake. If the only thing that exempted a subsequent offspring from the Bechar designation was the actual birth of viable offspring, then you would be correct. However, again, Ella Simon Havlad Bebehemodaka Tinof. For a behemadaka, if a behemadaka literally again has some type of discharge, right? Tinuf means some type of discharge that clearly has some type of disintegrated embryo inside of it. So ultimately, if a behemadaka has that type of discharge, then ultimately what would be the halacha, at least according to Rabbi Yoshua, that halacha lemaisa, any subsequent offspring that was born would not be a bechar. Ubegasa, and by behemagas, a larger animal, shilya, if there's an amniotic sac, right? If there's some type of placenta that's born from the animal, that's also a simon of a vlad, that would ultimately exempt the subsequent offspring from bechar. Ubi isha, and by human being, by a woman, shafir v'shalya, whether she goes ahead and she births something that looks like an embryo or a placenta, that would also be enough to do what? To exempt subsequent offspring from bechar. Va'ani, Nebosei Nairach, Rabbi Yeshua is still speaking. Va'ani, ein ani omer kein. Nebosei, now we're going to explain what this means. And Rabbi Yeshua says, but me personally, I don't hold this way. Ela, eiz shetinfa, bas shisha, yoledes besoch shnasa. So Rabbi Yeshua says like this, what I hold is, that even an eiz, a goat shetinfa, let's say a goat miscarried, and had this discharge, which clearly indicates that it miscarried. So bas shisha, yoledes besoch shnasa. Even if she miscarried at 6 months, she could still go ahead and birth within that same year. Birth within that same year. Rachel shetinfa bas shnasa. Similarly again, if a sheep went ahead and miscarried ultimately within a year, yoledes besoch shtayim, she could go ahead and give birth within the next year. I'm Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, Ani lo basi lide midazu. I did not come to this same type of halacha, literally again to the same type of measurement. Ela kol shia dua shebichra, ein kan lekoin klum. So Rabbi Akiva says like this, in my estimation, any time you know that this animal gave birth previously, then the subsequent birth is not given to the kohen. The kol shelo bichra, but any time I don't know that the animal went ahead and gave birth, hare zu lekoin safik. Ultimately, again, it's a safik whether or not it's a bechor. Therefore, again, yochal b'mumo lebailim. Ultimately, again, because it's a safik, so what do you do with a safik bechor? With a safik bechor, ultimately, again, it is given, it is allowed to graze until it develops a mum, and then it's consumed by the owner. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, over here, we seem to have three shitos. We have Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel's shita, we understand, same thing as the Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel's shita essentially is this: if you buy an animal young enough, that it is not yet at the age of maturity of giving birth, we assume it didn't give birth, and therefore the first time it gives birth, that is a bechor. You buy it at a more advanced age, where there's the possibility that it already did give birth, the offspring is safek bechor, yochal b'mumo. That's Rabbi Shmuel, the clearest shita so far. Rabbi Yoshua seemingly saying that what? That halacha lemaisa, Rabbi Shmuel, what you're not taking into account is the possibility that the animal miscarried. That's what you're not taking into account. And that apparently is a very real possibility. And it almost appears that what Rabbi Yoshua is actually saying is what? That every case where you purchase an animal would be what? Safek Bechar. Because it's always possible that the animal miscarried. The problem then is that Rabbi Yoshua himself says, but I don't hold that way. Because what that means, he doesn't hold that way, we're going to have to see. And then Rabbi Akiva, who comes along and says what? Rabbi Akiva seems to say that halacha lemaisa, if you know for sure that it gave birth, then the subsequent animal is not a bechor. But if you don't know that it gave birth, then it's a suffik. Okay, so Rabbi says, so now we have to clarify all of this. B'may kamifligi, right? B'may kamifligi, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yoshua. So we'll say first point of analysis over here is what is the machlokes Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yoshua? What are they arguing about? To which the Gemara says, seems to be pretty straightforward. So the Gemara says, Lema betinuf poter kamifligi. It appears that what they're actually arguing about, we'll say, is the impact of a miscarriage on subsequent births. If an animal miscarries, what is the status of that miscarriage on subsequent animals which are born? Rabbi Shmuel holds tinuf in a poter. Rabbi Shmuel says that a miscarriage does not impact the bechor status of the subsequent viable offspring. So we don't look at a miscarriage as a petarechem. We don't look at a miscarriage ultimately as an initial birth. And therefore, Allah says if the animal miscarries and subsequently births viable living offspring, assuming it's a male, that viable male living offspring will be the bechor. Fine. Rabbi Yeshua holds tinuf poter. And Rabbi Yeshua says no. That ultimately, again, a miscarriage does have the ability to be petarechem, and because it's petarechem, ultimately it exempts the subsequent birth from being the bechor. To which the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. Idichazinan detinaf dekoli amalo pligi detinaf poter. To which the Gemara says, no. Let's analyze this. If we know for sure that an animal miscarried, everyone agrees that what? That a subsequent birth is not a bechor. Let's put that on the record. Everyone agrees that if you see your animal miscarry, halacha lemaisa, everyone agrees that you cannot call the subsequent birth a petarechem because the animal birthed something. Granted, it wasn't a viable offspring, but it birthed something. Therefore, subsequent animal is not a petarechem, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, not a bechor. So what's the shayla? They both say, here's the machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yoshua. Are we choshish for a miscarriage? Or they both say, what level of assumption do we make regarding animals? Rabbi Shmuel savar in choshish in latinof. Rabbi Shmuel says, we have no reason to assume that an animal miscarried. There's no reason to have that kind of chashash. Therefore, again, they both say, halacha lemaisa, what Rabbi Shmuel says is like this. If the animal is young and did not birth, we have no reason to assume it miscarried. Therefore, when it gives birth, right, when it gives birth, we assume that animal is the bechor. Rabbi Yeshua savar choshesh in latinof. Rabbi Yeshua holds that no, we are choshesh that maybe there was a miscarriage. And therefore, Rabbi said, this is actually amazing. If you are choshesh that maybe there was a miscarriage, that essentially means in Rabbi Yeshua's model, essentially, you're going to be hard-pressed to what? To ever come up with a case of what? Of Bechor. Because that's actually quite amazing, because according to Rabbi Yeshua, the case of Bechor would have to be in your own flock, where I guess you're monitoring your animals. Rabbi Yeshua is your choshen latinov. To which the Gemara says, velo chayish. Is that true? That Rabbi Shmuel is not choshesh for a miscarriage? Vama Rava says, mecha barta Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Meir sirale. It would appear that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Meir. Well, so what's Rabbi Meir? This is Rabbi Meir from yesterday's daf. The chayish lemiut, right? We'll say ultimately we saw before in yesterday's Gemara that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is choshesh lemiuta, right? Rabbi Meir ultimately again is always concerned for the miut. Then I will say if Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Meir is choshesh for the miut, then what? Then what should he be choshesh for? A miscarriage, right? Because there's no question that ultimately again a miut of animals miscarry. To which the Gemara says, Ki chayesh l'chumra. When is that very interesting? When is Rabbi Yishmael choshesh l'miyot Rabbo say? Only when it creates a chumra. L'kula lo chayesh. Ultimately, again, he's not choshesh for the miyot when it creates a kula. Rabbo say, in this case over here, being choshesh for the miyot would create a kula. Why? Why? Because if you're choshesh for the miyot of animals which miscarry, then Rabbo say, what happens? What happens? Subsequent animals not a bechor. Saying that the animal is not a bechor, we'll say, is a kula. Therefore, again, the Gemara is suggesting, even if Rabbi Shmuel holds that rechoshish lemiut, that's only when the miut creates a chumra, but if the miut creates a kula, like it would in this case, we would not be choshish lemiuta. Bibaisim, the other possibility is, bein lekula, bein lechumra, chayish. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel, ultimately again, is choshish for the miut, whether the miut creates a chumra or a kula. So what's the situation? So we'll say, if that's the case, that Rabbi Shmuel is choshesh Lemi Uta, then Eino Chinami, he should be choshesh that the animal miscarried, in which case a subsequent birth is not a Bechor. Bahacha, so what's the case over here? Is that very interesting? B'mitanefes, v'chozeres v'yoledes p'soch sh'nasach ha'meflagim. Rabbi say here is a more fundamental, almost like biological machlokes. Can animals, or do animals, miscarry, and then once again become pregnant within the year? So say, so this refers, like for example, the gestational period of a goat, which apparently is 6 months, right? So halacha lemaisa, do we say that an animal can miscarry and then become pregnant and deliver again within a year? So watch this. Rabbi Shmuel savar mitanefes v'eino chozeres v'yoledes, right? B'soch sh'nasa. So Rabbi Shmuel holds like this. Rabbi Shmuel holds that an animal cannot miscarry and then immediately become pregnant afterwards so as to give birth within the same year. He holds that that is not biologically possible. Therefore, v'ha mida'olid, and therefore if you see an animal which ultimately gave birth within the year, v'adai lo tanith, it certainly did not miscarry. So it's interesting enough what Rabbi Shmuel essentially says is like this. That if you see an animal that gives birth within a year, that almost tells you with almost absolute certainty that what? That it did not go ahead and miscarry within that year. Therefore, Allah Kalamais, you could assume that animal is a Bechar. Rabbi Shua holds, Mitanefes v'chozeres yoledes b'sok sh'nasa. First wide line of Osechafa Medalith. Rabbi Shua on the other hand holds that no, an animal can miscarry and then ultimately what? Become pregnant again and give birth within that same year. Therefore, I will say, interestingly enough, in Rabbi Yeshua's model, even if you have that Eiz Bashnasa, right? Even if you have that goat that is 1 year old and it gives birth, Halach Lais Rabbi Yeshua's model is going to be what? Safik Bechar. Which is really quite amazing. So we'll say, it's really fascinating because it sounds like according to Rabbi Yeshua, you can have cases of Bechar, but it almost sounds like to have a Bechar Mamish, this would have to be your animal from birth that pretty much you've been monitoring. Otherwise, you would run into an issue of, pretty much you run into an issue of Suffolk, which is quite interesting. Correct. So, I mean, it would have to be an animal that has been monitored. Correct, right. It doesn't have to be born to you either. Va'ani. So I'll say, so remember again, now we're going to the rest of the Braisa. So after Rabbi Yeshua espouses his Shita, he says, Va'ani eini omer kein. I don't hold this way. So what does it mean? Va'ani eini omer kein. So remember again, Rabbi Yeshua said, but I don't hold this way. What does this mean? Ela eiz shatinfa bas shisha yoledes pesok shnasa. So Rabbi Yeshua says, but I hold that if a goat went ahead and miscarried at 6 months, it can go ahead and give birth still within a year. Rachel shetinfa bas shnasa. Assuming again, if a sheep miscarried within a year, yoledes pesoch shtayim. Ultimately, again, it could give birth within 2 years. So ma'ika ben gemarei lisvari. So we'll say, so what Rabbi Yeshua seems to be saying is like this, that Allah Lamai said there's a distinction between what he learned and his svara, right? And his own svara. So what's the distinction between what he learned and his own svara? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. So shetinfa b'sof shisha. So ultimately, again, so the Gemara says v'ika benayu. So the v'ika benayu d'ziri. So we'll say the distinction seems to be in a case where ultimately the animal miscarries at the end of 6 months, and the point of contention is the position of ziri. What does ziri hold? This is actually very interesting. Damar ziri ein tinuf pachos mishloshim yom. We'll say ziri holds that the process of miscarriage takes place over 30 days. Now, what does that actually mean? So we'll say, so interestingly enough, what it doesn't actually mean that the miscarriage itself takes place over 30 days. What it means is, Ziri felt that for the 30 days after the miscarriage, the female animal does not accept the male. So because of that, essentially, for 30 days after the miscarriage, the animal does not become pregnant. So therefore, that's what Ziri says, the miscarriage lasts for 30 days. It's the process of Mishra saying, now watch this. So therefore, you're going to say, if you hold like this, Dharma Ziri, ein tinuf pachos mishloshim yom. The miscarriage is not less than 30 days. So watch this. Ligmare islay de Ziri. So ultimately, again, based on his teachings, ultimately, again, Rabbi Yeshua accepted the position of Ziri. So lisvare, less lay de Ziri. But according to his logic, ultimately, again, he would not accept the position of Ziri. Now watch this. It's actually quite interesting. What's the nafkamina if you accept Ze'iri or not? So also remember again, if you accept the Ze'iri, that essentially means that a goat would not be able to miscarry and become pregnant in the same year. Because we'll say, let's say a goat were to miscarry at 6 months, and then were to go ahead and become pregnant again. According to Ze'iri, it doesn't become pregnant for that next month, which then means by the time it would deliver, that would be year number two. However, again, if you don't hold of Ze'iri, then it is possible ultimately, again, for the goat to miscarry and to ultimately give birth to viable offspring even within the same year. V'bayseima. The other possibility is, the kuli alma is lo de Ze'iri. Everyone holds of Ze'iri. V'halcha bi'oledes l'mikutan kamifigin. I'm about to say here the machlokes ultimately is, that what? That halacha l'maisa, does an animal give birth l'mikutan? I'm about to say mikutan means at intervals, meaning is it normal for animals to give birth early, on days? So the Gemara says, Ligmari lo amini yoledes l'mikutan. Ultimately, according to what he learned before, according to his teachings, right, an animal does not give birth early. L'svare amina yoledes l'mikutan. But according to the svar that he espoused, ultimately an animal can go ahead and even give birth early. Look at Rashi. Ligmari lo amina amadeis. Ligmari lo amina yoledes l'mikutan. Hilchoch lo nakat sof shisha. L'svare amina delo gamra behema mi'isha. Fine. So it says the Gemara. Viva yisema. Lo amina yoledes. V'hacha b'miktas hayam kekulo kameflegi. What's the other possibility? Is that no, everyone agrees that an animal does not give birth l'mikutan early. And here about say the machlokes is, or I should say not machlokes, but the distinction between what Rabbi Yoshua learned, his gemara, his tradition, versus his svara, was b'miktas hayom kekulo kamiflagi. As we'll say, do we treat part of the day like the entire day? L'svare, according to his reasoning, I mean a miktas kekulo. We will say that part of a day is treated like the entire day. Ligmarei, but according to his tradition, lo aminan miktasim kekul. Look at Rashi, ayom shegamar chodesh chamishi o shel tinuf. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, so these type of distinctions where the animal will be becoming pregnant right after miscarrying, so do you treat part of the day like the whole day, and therefore halacha lemaaseh, even on the day that it miscarries, ultimately becoming pregnant, therefore allowing miscarriage and pregnancy to occur in the same year. So does it make them cool? And that's the distinction between his Gemara and his Svara. Fine. So we'll say, so remember again, what we're left with over here is the Machlokes, Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Yoshua. That's the fundamentalist, which pretty much is the same Machlokes. Well, not the same Machlokes, but that's the Machlokes you have so far. Rabbi Yishmael telling me that Halacha Lemaaseh, what we do is we look at the age of the animal. If it's the age when it would normally give birth, then ultimately, again, or I should say, if I bought it after the age, that if I bought it after it reached the age of maturity, then ultimately, again, any subsequent offspring will be suffic. But if I bought it early enough, that it's young enough, that presumably it did not give birth, I'm not choshesh that it gave birth, that it didn't give birth, but rather, I'm not choshesh that it gave birth, and therefore the animal that it gives birth to first ultimately will be a bechor. Rabbi Yoshua Bosei seems to not hold that way, and Rabbi Yoshua pretty much holds that halacha lameisa, these situations will be safek. What also comes out over here, Bosei, it seems to be fundamentally that Rabbi Yoshua is of the concern that maybe the animal miscarried. And since everyone agrees that miscarriage ultimately exempts subsequent birth from bechor, really, it sounds like the fundamental point of contention here is, are we choshesh for miscarriage or not? Rabbi Shmuel is saying no, Rabbi Yeshua is saying yes. Rabbi Akiva comes along, Am Rabbi Akiva, ani lo basi lidei midazu. So also remember again, in the Brisa, Rabbi Akiva came along and he said as follows. He said, I'm not getting into this whole discussion. Rather, what he says is as follows, Ella, kol shiyadua shebichra, Ein kam l'koin klom, just reading from the Braisa. Rabbi Akiva says, any time we know that the animal delivered a bechor, any subsequent birth is not shayach to the koin. B'chol shelo bichra, but any animal ultimately, again, that has not given birth, hare zula koin safek. If the animal has not given birth, then what? Any subsequent birth will be a safek. Yochal b'mumo lebailim, and therefore could be eaten as a result of its mum. So now we're going to see what Rabbi Akiva is talking about. Ma'ika ben Rabbi Akiva l'Rabbi Yoshua. Now, at first glance, it sounds like Rabbi Akiva is saying the same thing as Rabbi Yoshua. Remember, again, I just want to point out that there is no Rabbi Yoshua in our Mishnah, right? Ultimately, again, Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah says what? If we're going back to Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva is one who said, Simen havlad bebehema daka tinuf, ubegasa shoyo, ubeisha shapir v'shalyo. They will say, what Rabbi Akiva is saying in our Mishnah is that what? Even if you don't know the animal has given birth, we have to be choshesh for what? A miscarriage. Which sounds like Rabbi Akiva saying the same thing as Rabbi Yoshua. Then halacha lemaisa, you have to assume the animal miscarried, and therefore any or not, you have to assume, you have to be choshesh that maybe the animal miscarried, and therefore any subsequent birth will be a safek bachar at most. At most. So ask the Gemara, what's the distinction? Ma'ika bein Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Yoshua. So here we go. I'm Rabbi Chanina Misura. This is actually fascinating. Cholav poter ikomener. But say, watch this. If the animal has milk, what if the animal has the ability to nurse? Does lactation, right? Does the ability to nurse automatically show that the animal has given birth or not? This is actually amazing. Rabbi Akiva Savar, cholav poter. Rabbi Akiva says, if you see an animal that can nurse, right, that is lactating, that is an indication that what? It has given birth. It has given birth. Watch this, I will say. Now, I want to point out, just, here's an interesting fact, right? There are some animals that develop the ability to lactate even if they have not given birth. Keep that in your back pocket. You never know when you're going to use that. Right? So we'll say, so ultimately, again, that is an anatomical reality. So we'll say, now watch this. Watch this. Rabbi Akiva Savar Chalav Poter. Rabbi Akiva says, if the animal has milk, then ultimately, again, subsequent offspring are pater from Bechar. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva holds, Halach achar rov behemos. We follow the rov. The rov behemos ein chovos, ela im kein yoldos. And the majority of animals do not develop the ability to nurse unless, of course, what? They have given birth. I'm both saying, now remember again, Rabbi Akiva says that the majority of animals only have the ability to nurse if they've given birth. So implicit in that statement is what? Is what? Is that there's a miut of animals who can nurse even if what? They do not give birth. But again, Rabbi Kiva is going to say, go after the rov. Go after the rov. That's what rov means. Rov means that halacha l'maaseh, look at the majority of circumstances. And the majority of circumstances is that if an animal has milk, it has given birth already. Which means that when it subsequently gives birth, that subsequent birth is not a bachor. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua, watch this, Rabbi Yeshua says, this is amazing. Ha'ika miut d'chovos, afa pi she'en yoldos. Rabbi Yeshua says, okay, but there's a miut. What's the miut? The miut is, right, there's a minority of animals that develop the ability to nurse, even though what? They have not given birth. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva is whether or not lactation is indicative of birth. Rabbi Akiva says, absolutely yes, we go after the rov. Rabbi Yeshua says, maybe not. There is a miut. And because there's a miut, ultimately, again, you can't ignore the miut. Says the Gemara, here we go. Umi chayesh Rabbi Yeshua lemiut. Is Rabbi Yeshua really choshesh for the miut? Right? Is he really choshesh for the minority? But now, watch this. This is actually amazing. We learned, haysa la chamos. Supposed to say, now watch this. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Here we go. Amazing case. So listen to this. A woman is married, right? A woman is married. She goes with her husband. She goes with her husband overseas. And what happens? Umes baila below banim. And ultimately her husband dies, Nebuch, and they don't have children. Right? Va'ach ein lo. And again, at the time they left the mishpacha, her husband did not have a brother. But she has a mother-in-law. So we'll say so again. So man and woman are married, right? When the time they leave the husband's family, the husband has no brothers, right? They go overseas. Husband dies overseas. But they did leave behind a mother-in-law and a father-in-law. So what happens? So we'll say, now what's the shayla? So the shayla over here is, does this woman have to be choshesh that what? Then maybe since the time she left, her mother-in-law gave birth to a son. In which case, what? She is subject to the obligation of Yibum. Does she have to be choshesh for such a thing like that? So, if she had a mother-in-law overseas, What a beautiful case. Right? A mother-in-law overseas. Right? Sa'is of Achamos, right? If you had a mother-in-law overseas, Eino Chosheshes. We'll say, look at Rashi, Eino Chosheshes. Shema Nolad Ben Lechameha V'hav Yezekuka Liyavam. So we'll say, ultimately, again, you don't have to be Choshesh that the mother-in-law gave birth to a son since they left. You don't have to be Choshesh for that. So I'll say, however, again, as I will say, now this is very important, however, Yotza Melea Choshashas. Now this is amazing. What happens if when husband and wife went overseas, Bishah Tova, the mother-in-law was expecting a baby? I will say, now watch this. If when they went overseas, the mother-in-law was expecting a baby, then Choshashas. Then the now Almana has to be Choshashas that what? That her mother-in-law gave birth to a boy. In which case, halacha lemaisa, this woman is now subject to yibum. Watch this. Watch this. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. Eino chosheshes. Rabbi Yeshua says, she doesn't have to worry. Still, even in this case, where when they left overseas, the mother-in-law was pregnant, the now almana still doesn't have to be chosheshes for yibum. Why not? This is incredible. Raminon, my time with Rabbi Yeshua. Why, right, so why would Rabbi Yeshua hold that she's not Choshesh? Let's get ready for this. This is amazing. Kasavar, here we go. Kasavar, rov mu'ubaros yoldos, umiut mapilos. So we'll say number one, the majority of women who are pregnant give birth. And a minority miscarry. That's number one, right? Rov tells you that the majority of women give birth to healthy, viable babies, a minority miscarry. Watch this. V'chala yoldos, and in that population who give birth, we assume 50-50 chance, right? 50% give birth to boys, 50% give birth to girls. Watch this. So we'll say, take the miut of women, take that miut that says women miscarry, and combine that with what? The 50% chance that what? That it's a girl. And I will say, if you combine the miut of women who miscarry, with the 50% chance, ultimately, again, that it's a female. And you combine that against what? Against what? Against the rov who deliver and the 50% that it's a boy, then what happens? Havu zecharim mi'uta. Well, say, essentially what you do is you erode the possibilities, ultimately, that what? That the offspring was a zachar. And therefore, again, ulemi'uta lo chai shinon. In other words, when you put this all together, it's only a miut possibility that she gave birth to a boy, and you're not choshesh for the miut. Now, we'll say, now, first of all, this is an incredible case. We'll say, so just by the Yibum case, number one, if the mother-in-law wasn't pregnant at the time that they left, everyone agrees that what? No chashash for Yibum. But even if the mother-in-law was pregnant, Rabbi Osei, so apparently, again, you have a machlokes. Right, Rabbi Yeshua. Now, Rabbi Yeshua says. So, first opinion says. Tanakamu says Chosheshes. Rabbi Yeshua holds not Chosheshes. Why? Because we'll say essentially what Rabbi Yeshua does through a series of halachic steps. It shows even if she was pregnant, it's only a mute possibility that she had a boy. Only a mute. How is it a mute? Because number one, you have a miut that says that she miscarried. There's only a 50% chance that she gave birth to a boy. Put the 50% chance of nekeva together with the miut to miscarry, and you erode the possibility of a zachar, which halachically only yields the possibility that maybe there's a miut possibility that there's a boy, and therefore only a miut possibility that she's subject to yibum. That miut possibility does not preclude her from ultimately remarrying overseas without worrying about that there is a younger brother or a surviving brother with her to deem. So I say, what do you see from here? That Rabbi Yeshua is not choshesh for the miut. They both say, now why is that problematic for us? Because what did we just say before? We just said before that Aloha Lamais, we're trying to figure out what is at the root of the machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. So what we wanted to suggest was the following. What's that root? What's at the core of the machlokes over here? Is a lactating animal. What is the status of lactating animals? So we'll say Rabbi Akiva will say that if the animal is nursing, then what does that indicate? That it gave birth. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, not necessarily. Why? Because there's a miut of animals that develop the ability to nurse, even though what? They have not given birth. Because Rabbi Yeshua is choshesh for the miut. What have we just shown over here? That Rabbi Yeshua is not choshesh for the miut. So which one is it, right? You just told me Rabbi Yeshua is choshesh for the miut. And therefore, again, even if an animal is lactating, he's choshesh ultimately, again, that maybe this is one of those animals that develops the possibility of lactating even without giving birth. Yet here we see that Rabbi Yeshua holds that what? That Allah HaLamayis, we're not choshish for the miyut. Elo efoch. Rather says the Gemara, you're right, switch the shitos around. Va'atanya and Abosa, again, we have a brisa that supports this change. Cholof poter div Rabbi Yeshua. That ultimately, again, if the animal is nursing, ultimately that exempts any subsequent birth from the din of Bechar, because we assume that if the animal is nursing, that what? That it is given birth. Rabbi Akiva Omer Chalav Enopoter. And Rabbi saying in this model over here, Rabbi Akiva says that ultimately, again, the presence of milk does not go ahead and what? Does not go ahead and exempt the animal from subsequent births from Bechar, because ultimately there is the miut possibility that the animal developed the ability to nurse without giving birth. So, both say, so what we did in this price is we switched around the shitos. That Rabbi Yeshua is not choshesh lemiut. He's not choshesh for miut by yibum, and he's not choshesh for miut ultimately again in the case of nursing either. And then Rabbi Yeshua holds that if the animal is lactating, that indicates that what? That Allah said has in fact given birth, and therefore any subsequent offspring will be potter from Bechar. Rabbi Akiva apparently is the opinion who holds that we're choshesh for miut, and therefore Allah said, even if the animal is lactating, it's possible that's a result ultimately of something else other than giving birth, and therefore subsequent animals could still be a bechor. Beautiful, says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. So we'll say. So first of all, how do we pass? This is actually a very important case because this is mamish like a very real mitzias. I don't mean the even case. I mean the lactating animal case is a very real mitzias. Why? Because so we'll say the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins is if the animal is nursing, we take that as an indication of birth. We are not choshish for the miut of animals that lactate even without giving birth. We always go buster the rove, and therefore if the animal is lactating, that is clear evidence for us halachically that the animal has given birth, and therefore any subsequent offspring ultimately again will not be subject to bechar. That's how we paskin. New case. Tan Rabbanan. Gedi sheyalda shalosh banos. It was an interesting case. You have a gedi that has given birth to three daughters. The three daughters, right? A kid, a female kid that has given birth to three daughters. Now, this is an interesting case. The chobanos yaldu shalosh shalosh, and each of the three daughters, kinai nahara, had their own three children, right? They're both saying, now, the great part about this case is all of this is happening when? All of this is happening within the same year. There, Rabbi Yosef, what turns out is kula nichnasos ladir lehis aser. Rabbi Yosef, all of them could be part of the same cohort for meiser behema purposes. So we'll say the point of this case over here is: remember again, when do you have meiser behema? When you have a group of 10 animals, right? Anytime you have 10 animals. So the Gemara is suggesting over here is you could have a cohort from the same mishpacha. Right, the mother gives birth to three daughters. The three daughters each give birth to their own three daughters, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, you ultimately have ma'aser behema from the same family, all of the mishpacha, the same cohort of animals. Amar Rabbi Shimon says, "Ani reisi she'isra b'sok shnasa." Rabbi Shimon says, "I've seen this case. By the way, I've actually seen this happen. I've seen within one family, within the span of a year, a mother give birth to offspring, and the offspring give birth to offspring." So we'll say, so it's not the mother. Remember again, the mother we're assuming has already been tithe, right? But rather again, it's the offspring, the three daughters, and then the three daughters themselves, who each have three offspring each, ultimately form a tithing cohort, a tithing unit. So which the verse, by the way, lamali lemisni shalosh shalosh, right? Tolit chad min eutlas ve'inoch tarti tarti. But so first of all, why do you need three offspring that give birth to three animals each? Remember again, the number I need to hit over here, in this case is what?
10.
Is 10. Right? I don't need to get, so why do you need three that give birth to three? To which the Gemara says, you're right, but Idi Diika Chada Delosagia Beloshalosh. Remember again, it's true. I could have what? Right? I don't need all three giving birth to three, but I do need one that gives birth to three in order to hit my number. Therefore, again, Tana Kulu Diyaldu Shalosh Shalosh. Instead of saying this one three, this one two, this one this, blah, blah, we just kept it easy. We just said three offspring that have three offspring themselves. But Ema Chinami, I don't need to have three that give birth to three. I just need to get to the number 10. V'lamali lemisni Shalosh Klal. Right? Why don't you need three at all? So the Gemara says, "Lam leiv misnei shalosh klal leil du kul hu tarti v'tehader ihi v'tolad ba'adayu." We'll say, why don't we just say again? She gives birth to three. Let those three each give birth to two, and say that the mother then gives birth to additional offspring. In other words, we'll say, why does all of the offspring have to come from her offspring? Let it be a case where she gives birth to three, right? So ultimately, again, let each of the three give birth to two, right? And ultimately, again, let the mother go back and then have more offspring. To which the Gemara says, "Tap of Chaf Aleph," for a very important reason. Lema kasavar mitanefes eno chazeres hioladis pesoch shnasa. Rabbi said, ultimately, why? Because this is reflecting a view. Remember, again, Rabbi said we saw this before. This is reflecting the view that halacha lemaisa that says that if the mother miscarries, she does not go ahead and give birth again within the same year. Rabbi said we're treating miscarriage the same thing as birth. If a mother miscarries and doesn't give birth in the same year, certainly what? If she births, she does not give birth in the same year. Im tim salomar mitanefes chozeres yoledes pesoch shnasa, yoledes vaday ino chozeres yoledes pesoch shnasa. Because we'll say it would appear that Gemara is trying to teach me that even according to the opinion who holds that Allah kalamayis, if a mother miscarries within the year, that she can become pregnant. Apparently, again, the Gemara is coming to teach me that if the mother actually gives birth within a year, she will not give birth again within that same year. That's the novelty of this case. That Allah is supposed to say, though we saw machlokes, what happens if the mother miscarries? Can she go ahead and give birth in the same year? And I both say, now that machlokes seems to be hinged on whose opinion? Whose opinion? Ziri, right? About Ziri's position that the miscarriage, quote unquote, lasts for a month. Right, in that the mother has become pregnant. So, but again, apparently, what the Gemara is coming to suggest to us is that even according to the opinion who holds that if a mother miscarries, she can go ahead and give birth within that same year. Everyone agrees that if she gives birth, she does not give birth within that same year. Therefore, when trying to establish a case of a family which creates its own Meister Behema cohort, the way it's going to work is how the mother gives birth to offspring, those offspring then give birth to those same offspring, but you can't create it as a case where the mother gives birth to offspring A and then gives birth to a second set of offspring, because that second set of offspring would not be in the same Maaser Behema cohort as the first. We'll also stop over here. We'll give them to 2 tomorrow.